Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A happy Tuesday and welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk some baseball, a little big league Peege. Off the top, we have the Final Four set in the men's and women's tournament. We're going to break all of those matchups down, too, in the men's side, too. On the women's side, Casey Hudson going to join me in the middle of the show, talk some hockey with Casey. It is the week before the Masters, folks. We got the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio this week. We will break that down during Tee It Up Tuesday, and then we will wrap up the show with our favorite plays for today during PJ's Plays. As always, we want to hear from you guys over the next 30 minutes. Send in your questions, comments, best bets, whatever you guys have. Let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL. YouTube/Odyssey Sports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. And make sure after the show, if you missed anything, you go check out the Send It In podcast. Everything that we check out, as you see on Twitch and YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, you can go listen back. Quick, easy, 30-minute show, nothing but picks, analysis, and insight. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing rolling here on a Tuesday. Time for some big league Peege. We're going to start with the Twins and Brewers today, 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. First pitch out in Milwaukee. We got Louis Varland going up against Jacob Junis. I'm going to pass on this game. It feels like Milwaukee and Minnesota to me are just like similar teams. They kind of have a few bright spots in their lineups. They have great pitching staffs. They both play in the central divisions, but they're just both kind of like blech, you know, like they're just boring teams. They're not exciting. They win games, but they're not exciting. I'm going to pass on this game today with that pitching matchup. Then we have the Royals and the Orioles, 6:35 p.m. Eastern time, over under 8.5. O's minus 165 on the money line. Kansas City plus 140. That was a great game last night in Baltimore. The O's won on a walk-off by Jordan Westberg. Cole Irvin going up against Alec Marsh today. Both number five starters for both of these teams. O's offense has been a little bit quiet here the last couple games. Supposed to be another rainy, dreary, crappy day in Baltimore. So I think the bats are going to be slow in the first five innings. I'll take a first five under 4.5 between the O's and the Royals today. Maybe the scoring picks up a little bit in the later innings, but we'll take that first five under. Then we have the Angels and the Marlins. The Marlins are winless so far to start the season. They're minus 150, though, today against the Angels, who are plus 125. The total is 8.5. You got Jesus Luzardo going up against Tyler Anderson for the Halos. I think today the Marlins finally win their first game. Pirates, we talked about it on the show. Pirates 13-1 to win the NL Central. This is exactly what they did last year. They got off to a red-hot start. They swept the Marlins to start the season. Angels win yesterday. I think the Marlins get them today, win their first game of the season. I like Miami, minus 150. Good series out in Philadelphia between the Reds and the Phillies. Cincinnati won last night. Tonight, they're another underdog at plus 120 with Graham Ashcraft on the mound. Spencer Turnbull going for Philadelphia. They are minus 145. The total is 8.5 in this game. Also, like the Phillies to bounce back. The Phillies kind of start off the season a little bit slow, right? When we were talking about the NL, we were talking about how the Dodgers and the Braves are the two teams that are probably going to compete for that top overall seed in the National League. Those teams are just built to win 100 games, and they do it year after year. The Phillies are much more built for the postseason. They've also had a tough schedule to start the season. Had to play the Braves. You had to face Strider and Freed. And now you play a really good young Cincinnati team. I do think Philly gets the bats going today. I think they win. I like them minus 145. Another good series with the Rangers taking on the Rays at the Trop. The total's 8.5. Zach Eflin making his second start of the season going up against Andrew Haney. Tampa minus 155 on the money line. And Texas is plus 125. We back Zach Eflin on opening day against Toronto. Didn't work out for us, but we're going to come right back. Ever since he was acquired by Tampa in the middle of half of last season, he's been great. At home. Think he bounces back today. I got Eflin and the Rays on the money line. Also would look on the run line today at -1.5 against Texas. Then the Mets are looking for their first win of the season at Citi Field, taking on Detroit. The Mets -130, Detroit +110. Adrian Hauser going up against former number one overall pick Casey Mize. I also think today is the day that the Mets finally get their first win of the season. Both of these teams, I don't think, are very good. I know the Tigers were a team that a lot of people maybe think could win the AL Central, and they certainly still could in that division. The Mets are really, really bad, folks. That's going to be a long season there in New York. I'm interested to see kind of who they trade at the trade deadline later on in the season, but for all that money that they have on that payroll, certainly not the roster that they were expecting to have. I do think they get the win today, though. Low total at 7.5. I think that more so favors the Mets, so I'll take them on the money line. The Braves absolutely beat down the White Sox yesterday. They're -225 on the money line today. Ronaldo Lopez going up against Garrett Crochet. The one few bright spot for the White Sox so far this season was that opening day start by Garrett Crochet. That was against the Tigers lineup. Now he's got to face Atlanta's lineup. Yesterday, we took that Braves team total over at 5.5. That cash with ease. Today, we're coming right back to it. It's even money because of how Crochet looked against the Tigers on opening day. I want to see him do it against the Braves. I'll take the Braves team total over once more. I'll take the over in Rockies and Cubs today as well. Javier Assad going up against Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland in his career has struggled against this Cubs lineup out in Wrigley today. That was a lower scoring game yesterday with Imanaga on the mound. Looked great. I think we're going to get a higher scoring game today out in Chicago. I'll take the over in Cubs and Rockies. Blue Jays and Astros, you might have heard we had a no-hitter last night in that game. I don't think we're going to have a no-hitter today. As a matter of fact, this is the kind of things I love to bet. This is baseball right here. The Blue Jays don't get a hit yesterday. They don't score a run. So naturally, I'm going to bet a Yurphy today, -110 between Framber Valdez and Jose Berrios. I'm also going to take the Blue Jays +130 on the money line. Yankees are 5-0. Look to keep it rolling today with Nestor Cortez against Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen is pitching at home for the D-backs. We're taking the D-backs. We're going to keep riding that trend until it fails us. I'll take Arizona tonight, -115. Then we got the Red Sox out in Oakland. Red Sox won 9-0 last night. I think, once again, Oakland's going to struggle to score runs in this game. But Alex Wood is on the mound for Oakland, who's by far their best starting pitcher. This feels like a 4-2, 5-2 kind of game to me. I'll take under 8 in Red Sox and Athletics. Cardinals and Padres. St. Louis has had a really good start to the season in like the first 4 or 5 innings. I'll take them first 5 against San Diego, +115 with Miles Michaelis going up against Yu Darvish. Mariners and Guardians in a really good pitching matchup tonight out in Seattle. Luis Castillo against Shane Bieber. I'm going to take Cleveland and Bieber, -105. Feels like this line should be a little bit higher with Castillo on the mound at home. I think there's some smart money coming in on Cleveland. I'll ride at -105. And then Giants and Dodgers tonight. Logan Webb on the mound for the Giants, and he's a sinker ball pitcher pitching in that ballpark in L.A., which is a pitcher-friendly park. I'll take the under 8.5 between the Giants and the Dodgers. Time to move on now as we go off the glass, and it's time to talk about some of these Final Four matchups that we have. The men's tournament out in Phoenix, and then the women's tournament out in Cleveland. We'll start with the women's tournament. Number 3, NC State, the 3 seed, taking on the number 1 overall seed and undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. South Carolina favored by 11.5. The total is 139.5. You've been watching the women's tournament. The last couple games, South Carolina has had their hands full with Indiana in the Sweet 16 and then with Oregon State in the Elite 8. Both of those games, like midway fourth quarter, were pretty tight. We're getting a double-digit spread here with the very good NC State team. South Carolina's undefeated. They're the clear favorite. They're likely going to win the championship. But they've gotten tested more than probably people thought, certainly up to this point. NC State is a lot like the men's team. They're hot right now. They're playing really good. I think that's too many points. I'll take NC State +11.5. Then we have Iowa and UConn. Everybody's looking forward to this one. Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers. Gino Auriemma, we know, is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best coaches ever, not only in women's college basketball, but in college basketball, period. His resume speaks for himself. This year might be one of the best coaching jobs he has ever done. UConn has a ton of injuries. They had to switch to a four-guard lineup. Their offense isn't as good as it's normally been, but man, can they defend. And Paige Beckers has taken this team under her wing, and now they reach the Final Four once again. And congratulations, you got to play maybe one of the best players of all time in Caitlin Clark, who had an unbelievable performance yesterday. It's the same spread as it was for Iowa-LSU. I think LSU's better than UConn is. I certainly think they're better on the offensive end. As great as UConn is defensively, man, you're going up against the best offense in college basketball, and there is no defense for Caitlin Clark. I think she's on a mission right now. We were talking about that Iowa and LSU game yesterday. To me, it had the same feel of like when the Bengals played the Chiefs and the Bengals were doing all that Burrowhead stuff, and they were just talking way too much going up against the GOAT in Mahomes, and he made him pay. LSU is doing a lot of talking. I know they're the defending champs, but when you do all that talking, you better know who you're going up against on the other side. Caitlin Clark made him pay. I think she's going to make UConn pay too. I'll take Iowa -2.5. Then on the men's side, we got Bama and UConn. Can anybody keep a game close with the Huskies? Huskies favored by 11.5. The total is 160.5. Told you guys yesterday, my favorite play in this game is the UConn team total over at 86.5. I know a lot of people are betting UConn because of how they've looked, and everybody is scared to bet against this team. Alabama's an interesting team, though, because they're not going to use the same game plan that Illinois did. They're not going to attack Donovan Clingan. If they do drive in the paint, it's going to be so that they can kick out for three-pointers. They're probably going to jack up like 40 threes in this game. If they're able to hit like 16, 18, 19 three-pointers, they might be able to hang around with UConn. Remember, one of UConn's losses this season was to Creighton, when Creighton couldn't miss for three that night in Omaha. If Bama has an on-shooting night, which they have done plenty of times this season, that game could be interesting. But the one constant that I know we're going to get in this game is UConn's ability to score. The question is this going to be a 98-94 game, or is this going to be a 98-72 kind of game? I'll take the UConn team total over. And then NC State and Purdue. Purdue's favored by 9.5. The total in this game is 145.5. You look at KenPom right now. Purdue is 31 points better than an average team, according to KenPom. NC State is 16 points better, which means on a neutral floor, this game should be 15 points. The spread should be 15 points in this game, but because NC State has this Team of Destiny feel to them, odds makers know that they can hang this line, and they're still going to get plenty of NC State money. As a matter of fact, I think there are going to be more tickets on NC State in this game, plus 9.5, than there will be on Purdue. Keep in mind, though, as great as NC State's run has been, think about all the breaks that they have caught, right? Didn't have to play Kentucky in the second round. Instead, you got Oakland. Didn't have to play Houston in the Elite Eight because of Jamal Shedd's injury. Instead, you got Duke. And then think about all the poor shooting performances that these teams have had against NC State. Marquette was 4-for-31 from three-point range. Duke was 5-for-20. Texas Tech was 7-for-31. The one team that shot okay against NC State from downtown was Oakland. They were 12-for-35. And that game went to overtime. You're playing against one of the most efficient offenses, one of the best three-point shooting offenses in the country in Purdue. They shoot over 40% from three-point range. So, look, they went 1-for-7 in the first half against Tennessee from downtown, and they were still up by 2 in the first half and obviously ended up winning the game. I don't know if you can count on a bad shooting performance from Purdue. So, as great as the NC State ride has been, as fun as it has been, I think this is where it stops. I think Purdue blows them out. I think they win the game by 20. I know everybody is probably going to bet NC State because they got Team of Destiny vibes, but they better hope that Purdue has an off-shooting night, because if they don't, I think this thing could get ugly. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Casey Hudson joining me here on Send It In. Casey, always great to see you. Excited to talk some hockey with you. Before we do that, what are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
We got two in the NBA. It's Houston at +7.5 versus Minnesota. BetQL model is loving this because the Rockets are 33-17 when going up against poor foul drawing teams. And then you got OKC, a double whammy here. -2.5 spread is 5 stars, as well as the -135 money line versus Philly. OKC is 12-1 after 3 or more consecutive overs so far this season. So those are technically your 3 5-star bets with the BetQL model.
All right, very nice. That's what the BetQL model likes for today. Casey, how about yourself? What are some bets that you like for today?
I'm going to go to an important game for the Golden Knights versus the Canucks tonight. I like Jonathan Marchesso to help the Golden Knights pull off a victory versus the Canucks. He's on 40 goals in the season. He's picking back up where he left off at this exact moment last season to help his team clinch their playoff spot. And every point is crucial to this team right now. They've swung a lot of overtime opportunities, but they need that clean outright victory. And with the power play and penalty kill that the Canucks produce, I think that the Vegas Golden Knights, although their power play is not that great, can pick up some special team goals so that they can execute their win tonight. So I like Marchie to pick up a goal. I also like Bor Horvat, 1+ points versus the Blackhawks. Islanders lost to the Blackhawks in ugly fashion, 4-3. They're going to want some revenge, and Horvat nearly has a point per matchup versus this team specifically. 2 shorthanded goals, 2 game-winning goals, overtime goal. He's got everything it takes to help his team pull off a nice, nice victory versus the Blackhawks tonight.
All right, very nice. Now, Casey, obviously we're locked into some of these playoff races that we have in the Eastern and Western Conference, but let's talk about some of the top teams in the NHL. We're looking at the President's Cup trophy race. Right now, it looks like it's coming down to 3 teams, the Rangers, the Stars, and the Hurricanes. New York is minus 110, Dallas plus 200, and the Canes are plus 700. New York right now, 1 point up on the Stars and 3 points up on the Hurricanes. You think the Rangers are going to win the President's Cup, or do you like one of the other teams?
So I have 2 reasons for why the Rangers will probably take this one. One, selfishly, the President's Trophy curse, so they can get out of the Tampa Bay Lightning's way, obviously. And their schedule coming up here, they're going against teams that they have handled very well, and their bounce back record after coming off of losses that they should have won is pretty tremendous. So they tend to go on these streaks. They lost to the Penguins 5-2, I believe it was, last night, but they just have such key guys on their team that'll help them continue to build some momentum. They've got the Devils coming up, they've got the Wings, they've got the Canadiens, and then they've got the Islanders. So they have more winnable games in this stretch than I think the Stars and the Canes do. Canes are kind of looking at some difficulty facing Boston Bruins twice as they try to work on their playoff situation. So I'm going to go with the Rangers.
All right, very good. Rangers still minus 110 if you want to jump on that. Casey, also let me ask you, great slate tonight. You mentioned that Canucks Golden Knights game should be good. Sabres Caps is a huge game. We got some good ones. Is there an underdog that you would take outright tonight that you like the best on this NHL slate?
I love the Capitals. I've got to go with what they're doing right now. They've already pulled off a victory, but they are the underdogs tonight. I just like the direction that their defense is trending in and their scoring depth opportunities. Obviously, Avi is tremendous lately, and he's been unstoppable, but you've got Carlson who's starting to step into the mix. Strom has been great all season long, and McMichael is starting to get in the mix as well. So they're just starting to find their legs at the right time. I also like the fact of how well they can compete against a Buffalo Sabres team that's just very inconsistent, and they need the win more so than anything else. They have to hold on to that wild card spot too. Buffalo Sabres are 5 spots removed from any chance in getting into the playoffs. So the Capitals need it more than anything else, and I think they can pull it off.
All right, very nice. Casey, before I let you go, right now, if you look at BetMGM, we got a 3-way tie at the top between who's going to win the cup, the favorites. We got the Avs, we got the Canes, and we got the Panthers, all plus 650. If you had to make a bet right now on one of those teams at plus 650 to win it all, who would you take?
If I had to win the bet right now, hands down, I have to go with the Avalanche, which is kind of painful to say, but they did the right things at the trade deadline. I mean, Sean Walker's been a tremendous plug for them in their defense, which is one of the areas that I've kind of complained about the most when it comes to them. And plus, Anonen has been a sweet surprise between the pipes for this team. You've got Nathan McKinnon, who's unstoppable. You've got Rantanen that can match his pace. They bolstered their second line. So I think that they just made a lot of the most crucial, important, but successful moves at the trade deadline, and they have been successful ever since then. So if I had to put my money on it now, I'd have to go with the Avalanche. If I had to put my money on it about 2 weeks later, I'd love to see the Canes. I love their head coach. I love what they're piecing together, but the Avalanche are probably the top team right now.
All right, very nice. She's Casey Hudson joining me here on Send It In. Casey, always great seeing you. Enjoy the hockey tonight, and we'll talk to you again later in the week.
Thank you. See you later, PJ.
All right, for those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. We got a question here on Twitch from Reed Phillips Rad. Today is the last day to use my bonus bet from BetMGM for baseball. Any suggestions on where to play it. It's a good question. Anytime you have a bonus bet, I always like using plus money, right? Like, that's the beauty of a bonus bet, is the fact that it's coming from the sports book. So if my favorite plus money dog today is probably Toronto at plus 130. That would be my first bet. If you want to maybe do a little parlay, I think the Marlins and like the Phillies are a good parlay option. Minus 150, minus 145 on the money line. Put them together. So those would probably be my two plays. Either parlay Miami and Philadelphia, or take the Blue Jays at plus 130. As you guys will find out all summer long when we're handicapping these baseball games, in my opinion, the beauty of baseball is that you can flip the page to the very next day. And when teams usually get blown out and teams as talented as the Blue Jays, especially when you just got no hit, I like backing those teams the next night. And as I mentioned earlier, I like that Yerfie today in Blue Jays and Astros, right? Like, how many times do we see that in baseball? Team gets no hit, team gets shut out for 9 innings, and they come back the following night and score in the first inning. So great question, Reed. That would be my play, Blue Jays money line or Marlins and Phillies parlay. All right, let's talk some golf. It is a Tee It Up Tuesday here on Send It In. We got the Valero Texas Open, which is always a great event on the schedule because that means that the Masters is right around the corner. But that is also how we handicap this week as well, right? Like, what's the motivation for some of these guys? This is one of the best fields that I think they've ever had at the Valero Texas Open. They kind of redid the schedule. The Houston Open, in which they had last week, usually is in the fall, but they made it in the spring this year. So now a lot of guys are using this week as kind of the tune-up for Augusta. There are some similar type shot shapes and elevation changes and green complexes that are similar here in San Antonio as what the guys are going to see next week in Augusta. But as you can see, like, Rory's playing this week, Ludvig Åberg is, Hideki, Spieth, Connors, Morikawa, Homa, Fitzpatrick. You got major champions, guys that have won at the Masters before, certainly guys that are looking to win at the Masters like Rory. But that's a big part of the handicap this week. Which guys are actually truly there to win? And which guys are there to kind of just like work on their game, work on certain shots that they know that they're going to use next week at the Masters. Rory, this is only the second time that he has played here. He also played here last year and he missed the cut. Morikawa, Fleetwood, and Fitzpatrick, they are all playing here for the first time. So again, the field usually not this good. This year though, pretty solid. And then Corey Connors won last year. He's currently 22-1 to win this year. He has won two of the last 4 years. Usually course history, pretty good at this course. Charlie Hoffman is the guy that you think of when you think of the Valero Texas Open. Charlie Hoffman's played at this event every year since 2006, and he's only missed the cut one time. He's a winner. He always has runner-up finishes, top three finishes, so you can get a pretty good price on Charlie Hoffman. Hasn't been in great form, but man, does he love this golf course. It's about 7,400 yards. It's a par 72, four par fives, four par threes, and then 10 par fours. So traditional golf coursing layout, kind of golfer that we're looking for this week. We want accurate ball strikers, right? Corey Connors has won here two of the last 4 years. That's Corey Connors' game. He is just dead accurate. He's a great iron player, very accurate. You also want guys that are good scramblers, guys that are good short game. Corey Connors isn't really known for his short game, which is why it's impressive that he's won at this golf course. But those are the two kind of characteristics you want. You want an accurate golfer, and you want a guy that's a good scrambler, good short game. You also want a golfer that plays well in some of these Texas wins, because that's really the big defense at this golf course in San Antonio. It can really blow like 20, 25 miles per hour there sometimes. And when it does, you got to be able to know how to flight your ball in those kind of winds. So good ball strikers, good scramblers, and you want guys that can play in windy conditions as well. Some of the golfers that I'm looking at this week, I know there are a lot of enticing names at the top of that leaderboard, as I was mentioning, but my first golfer that I'm going to down the board is going to be at 33-1. I'm taking Ben On, who is two top 10 finishes at this course in his last three times playing. He's also in great form. Three of his last four events, Ben On has finished tied for 21st or better. So he's in good form. He's played this course well, and it should set up well for him. Good ball striker. His look, length certainly isn't going to hurt you at a course like this. Again, there are four par fives. It plays 7,400 yards. Ben On hits the ball a mile. If his short game cooperates, he could certainly be in contention this week. So I like him at 33-1. I also like Tom Kim at 45-1 as well. Last time we saw Tom Kim, he had to withdraw at the Players due to a fever. He had like 102-degree fever, but he's back this week. Tom Kim is a competitive dude. If you've gotten a chance to watch the Netflix documentary Full Swing, it highlighted kind of his competitiveness. The fact that the Masters is next week and the fact that he obviously had a fever, but he is deciding to play this week, I think says a lot about Tom Kim. He lives in Texas, so he plays in these windy conditions, should be comfortable for him. I like him at 45-1. Also like Lucas Glover at 66-1 as well. Three of the last four times Lucas Glover has played here, he has finished in the top 20, and he is the kind of golfer that we're looking for. He's accurate off the tee, he's accurate with his irons, and he's got a solid short game as well. Lucas Glover's getting up there in age. He's pushing 50 years old, so he just plays old man golf. Keep in the fairway, hit greens, have a good short game. That's what he does. And then if you want a super long shot, I mentioned Charlie Hoffman always plays well at the Valero Texas Open. Matt Kuchar always plays well at the Valero Texas Open as well. Kuchar has been terrible this season. He's played in 8 events and he has missed the cut in 6 of them. That is why his odds are at 125-1. However, the last 4 times that Matt Kuchar has played here, the last 4 years, listen to his finishes. 3rd place, 2nd place, 12th place, and 7th place. So if you don't want to take him at 125-1 to win the golf tournament, I understand he's probably not going to win, but he's plus 900 to finish in the top 10, he's plus 400 to finish in the top 20, and he's plus 140 to finish in the top 40. I know his form is terrible, but man, he loves this golf course, and you're getting some pretty good plus money prices on top 40, top 20, and top 10 if you want to take a stab in some of those markets. So those are the golfers that I'm looking at. Ben On, Tom Kim, Lucas Glover, and Matt Kuchar for this week at the Valero Texas Open. Time to wrap up the show now with PJ's plays here on Send It In. And man, oh man, the segment is called Going Streaking, and have we ever to start the season. Perfect 3-for-3. Look at all those green check marks. Our guys are batting 461 right now, and we are taking a guy who is batting 462 to start this season. That is Corey Seager going up against Zach Eflin today, who he is 3-for-7 against in his career. I mean, Seager's one of the best hitters in baseball. He's off to a great start this season. I like him to get a hit today. I'll take Corey Seager in Going Streaking. My prop lock today is going to be a nice plus 240 for you guys. If you watch the show, you know I love fading the Wizards, especially when they go up against big men. Well, Brook Lopez isn't a big man who's really known for crashing the glass, but for him to grab 7 or more rebounds today is plus 240 against the Wizards. He has not grabbed 7 or more rebounds in his last 6 games, which is why we're getting such a good number. But in 2 meetings against the Wizards this season, he has grabbed 6 boards and he has grabbed 9 rebounds. And a lot of those were early on in the season when, like, Daniel Gafford was still there. Gafford's not there anymore. The Wizards don't have anybody that can rebound the ball inside. You got to worry about a blowout, of course, with the Bucks and the Wizards involved, but I think it's absolutely worth it. Plus 240, Brook Lopez, grab a 7 rebounds. That is my prop lock for today. My dog of the day, as I mentioned to Reed Phillips Rad, is going to be the Blue Jays, plus 130 against the Astros. Blue Jays just got no hit. They lost 10-0. Beauty of baseball, you flip the page, you come back right the next day to the ballpark, and you figure it out. Astros just got swept by the Yankees, so they obviously were looking for a win yesterday. They got it. Blue Jays, tough start to the schedule. I mean, you open up the year in Tampa, then you got to go to Houston. I think they bounce back today. I think the bats wake up. I'll take Toronto plus 130 on the money line. Shawnee Sharp, what say you? What's the winner you got for today?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going over to the Guardians and Mariners game. This game's out in Seattle. I'm going Shane Bieber over 6.5 strikeouts. Listen, he had 11 opening day against the Athletics. I know it's the Athletics, but Seattle is right now is 3rd worst in the MLB in strikeouts. They're averaging over 10 a game. They had 9 yesterday. They did get to Tristan McKenzie, but I don't think Shane Bieber right now looks amazing. So especially in these early games, it's cold. I don't think the bats are going to be hot. Not a lot of guys are going to be hitting really well. So I think 6.5 strikeouts is too low open up for Shane Bieber right now.
All right, I like it. That's Shawnee Sharp's best bet. My best bet is going to be the Thunder minus 5.5 tonight at the Sixers. Woj came out with that report yesterday that Joel Embiid might be back for the game today. If he is, like, how do you handicap this game if you're an odds maker? Because we know if Embiid plays, he's certainly not going to play his normal minutes. And then how does that disrupt the flow of the offense? What are the defensive rotations looking like? I just think it's a lot. And you're playing one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I'll take OKC -5.5 tonight against the Sixers. To recap, our best bets for today. And going streaking, we're going to take Corey Seager against Zach Eflin and the Rays. Brook Lopez, 7 or more rebounds, is going to be my prop lock. Blue Jays +130, my dog of the day against the Astros. Shawnee Sharp's going with Shane Bieber over 6.5 Ks. And I will take the Thunder -5.5 against the Sixers as my best bet. As a reminder, you can catch the show, if you missed any of it, on the Send It In podcast. Make sure you listen, rate, subscribe, and review it all right there wherever you get your podcast. Appreciate you guys listening in. Thanks for the questions. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here for some more Send It In.